Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Good morning. This is Pastor Vince, and I want to welcome you to lesson number 20. It's chapter number 20 in your book. And the objectives of this lesson are going to be as follows. You're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You're going to be able to list three reasons why it's important to study Bible prophecy. You're going to be able to identify the source of biblical prophecy. You're going to be able to define biblical prophecy. You're going to be able to name two methods by which God gave prophecies. You'll be able to distinguish between true and false prophets. You're going to be able to list three purposes of prophecy and list five keys for understanding biblical prophecy. And our key verse for today is Luke 24:44, which says, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you, that while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." So, as you've learned previously in this course, there are several books in God's Word which are called books of prophecy. And this chapter presents basic guidelines for studying and understanding Bible prophecy. So God's written word, the Holy Bible, differs in many ways from the sacred writings of other religions, but there's one important difference. The difference is that the sacred books of all other religions do not contain prophecies that have been accurately fulfilled. The prophecy contained in the Bible, much of which has already been fulfilled, is an important witness to the divine inspiration of scriptures. Now, as a definition of the word prophecy, the word prophesy means to speak forth. And Bible prophecy includes three basic kinds of speaking forth. One, a message of inspiration from God. Two, prediction of future events in God's eternal plan. And three, an interpretation for man and the acts of God. Now, in dealing with the prophets, God commissioned each prophet of the Bible to fulfill a particular role in his plan. They were to be as interpreters. They explained God's acts to men. As spokesmen, they voiced God's truth, and they spoke messages of hope and inspiration. And as prophets, they predicted future events in God's plan through revelation given by the Holy Spirit. Now, the predictions of Bible prophecy are beyond the human ability. They include a sufficient number of details to eliminate speculation or guessing. And there are two basic ways in which God spoke through the prophets. One of them was the spoken word. So the most often used was the spoken word, and God would tell the prophet the words to speak. For example, God said to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:7, "For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." So throughout the book of Jeremiah, God's instructions to him were, "Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord." And that's Jeremiah 2:2. So Jeremiah spoke the words which God told him to speak. We also have acted prophecies. In addition to spoken prophecy, God had prophets visually act out a message. For example, God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 27:2, "Make thee bonds and yokes and put them upon thy neck." Now, these yokes were a visible prophecy of the yokes of bondage which were to come on the people because of their sin. And Jeremiah acted out the prophetic message of God. So now we also have the source of Bible prophecy, which is to reveal God's message to man through the Holy Spirit. In 2 Peter 1:21, it says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And 1 Corinthians 2:10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." So God can accurately speak accurately to the future because of this. In Acts 15:18, he says, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." And in Isaiah 46:9 through 10, it says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times to the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So it is God that raises up prophets. We find that in Deuteronomy 18:15. It says, "The Lord thy God will raise up thee a prophet from amidst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." God also reveals his future plans to these prophets. And we find that in Amos 3:7, it says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing but he reveal his secret unto his servants, the prophets." Now, we have also false prophets. Satan many times imitates true prophecy through false predictions by fortune tellers, witches, astrologers, and these methods are not of God. The prophet Daniel said this in Daniel 2:27-28. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." Now, true prophecy directs attention to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." So the Bible warns of false prophets. We find several verses, Matthew 24:11, verse 24, Mark 13:22. "A person called a false prophet will be evident in the events of the end of the world," according to Revelation 13:11-17, chapter 16:13, 19:20, and 20:10. The Bible reveals several ways to identify false prophets. First off, they teach sexual immorality and permissiveness, according to 2 Peter 2:13. They try to lead people away from obedience to God's word, according to Deuteronomy 13:1-5. They make false claims, according to Matthew 24:23-24. They deceive people with miraculous signs, according to Matthew 24:11-24. They do not prophesy according to the proportion of faith, in right relation to God's word, according to Romans 12:6. False prophets do not have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their lives, according to Matthew 7:15-16 and Galatians 5:22-23. So what they prophesy does not come to pass, Deuteronomy 18:20-22. So the purposes of prophecy are this, that the Bible reveals special purposes for God speaking to men through prophecy. And to authenticate God's message, we have to realize that fulfilled prophecy proves God's message is authentic or true. In Isaiah 41:22-23, God challenges the gods of the heathen nations to prove their power by foretelling future events, and they could not do it because they were false gods. In Isaiah 41:21-23, it says this, "Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the king of Jacob, and let them bring them forth, and show unto us what shall happen, and let them show the former things that they be, that we may consider them, and known the latter end of them, or declare us things to come. Shew the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods." So prophecy is also used to confirm God's messenger. In Jeremiah 28:9, it says, "The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him." Prophecy is also used to instruct believers. Believers are to receive instruction from prophecy and to take heed or pay attention to it. We find that in 2 Peter 1:19. It says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." It's very important that we study prophecy, and there are three main reasons why it is important to study Bible prophecy. First one is this, that all Scripture is inspired of God, and it's profitable for study. We find that in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, which says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Number two is prophecy brings understanding of past, present, and future events in the plan of God. Revelations 1:19 says, "The things that thou have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." Number three is that understanding of God's future plan prevents deception by Satan. And we find that in Matthew 24:23-26. It says, "Then if any man shall say unto thee, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not." So God's future plan has been shared before it happens, so we will not be deceived by Satan. And number four, there's a special blessing pronounced upon those who study Bible prophecy. In Revelations 1:3, it says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." So now I want to speak about the study of prophecy. Bible prophecy is part of the meat of the Word of God, which we referred to previously in this course. The meat of prophecy is more difficult to understand than the milk of God's Word, which presents basic concepts of the Christian faith. So, if you're a new believer and you do not have any background knowledge of the Bible, you should study other portions of God's Word before you try to study prophetic books. Study the Gospels, Acts, and the letters of the New Testament. Study the poetry, the law, the history divisions of the Old Testament. And as you study, use what you have learned in this course about book, chapter, paragraph, verse, and word studies. And after you've done have a basic knowledge of these divisions, then study the prophetic books of the Bible. Do not worry if you do not understand all the prophecies in the Bible. I mean, many great Bible scholars have debated for years about the meaning of some portions of Bible prophecy. So, as far as the prophetic books go, in addition to the books of prophecy, there are many other chapters and verses of prophecy scattered throughout God's Word. The first prophecy recorded in the Bible is in the book of Genesis, which was Genesis 3:15, and it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So these verse prophecies of the coming of Jesus Christ, who through his death of the sins of man would crush the enemy, Satan. It is not possible to list in this manual every prophecy in the Word of God. So we just want you to be aware that there are prophecies throughout the entire Bible. So prophecy is not just confined to the books known as the books of prophecy. So with study and experience, you'll be able to identify the prophetic theme that runs throughout the entire Bible. Some people get frustrated when they try to understand Bible prophecy because prophecy is more difficult than other portions of the Bible, and they wonder if God really intended for them to understand it. It is possible to understand Bible prophecy, and God wanted so much for Daniel to understand prophecy that he sent an angel to explain it to him. The angel said in Daniel 9:22, "I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." So Jesus took time to explain Old Testament prophecy to his disciples as well, and he did that in Luke 24:44, and he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." So when the disciples asked Jesus about the end of the world, Jesus listed several prophetic signs which they were to watch, and he wanted them to understand future events. And Jesus said in Matthew 24:33, "So likewise ye, when ye shall see these things, know that the end is near, even at the doors." So in the introduction to the book of Revelation, a book which some consider to be really quite difficult to understand, it's clear that God wants his people to understand prophecy. We see that right from Revelation 1:1. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass." So now, in keys to understanding prophecy, first off, there's some basic keys that are going to help you to understand and to be able to properly interpret prophecy. Number one is the basic theme of prophecy. The Lord Jesus Christ is the basic theme of Bible prophecy, and there are many other subjects of Bible prophecy. For example, there are prophecies of judgment of wicked nations by God, but the underlying theme of all Bible prophecies is that they somehow relate to Jesus and the purpose of God regarding him. In Ephesians 1:9-10, it says, "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." So all Bible prophecy, even when it deals with subjects such as judgment upon the nations, etc., it relates to the overall plan of God. That plan is to bring all mankind into right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose is to gather in one all things in Christ. And the Bible states that the spirit or theme of Bible prophecy is Jesus. And we find that in Revelations 19:10. It says, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So when you study Bible prophecy, consider in the terms of this question, how does this prophecy relate to Jesus Christ, or the spirit of prophecy, and God's overall plan concerning him? Number two, the Bible interprets itself. Another key to understanding is to realize that often the Bible explains its own prophecies. For example, of how the Bible interprets itself, you can read Daniel chapter 2. Here's a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, and he's given a dream from God, and upon awaking, he cannot remember the dream. So he calls upon the astrologers and the magicians to recall the interpret his dream, but they can't do it. So when God uses the prophet Daniel to tell the king what he dreamed and interpret for him, the dream was described by Daniel in verses 31 to 35. The inspiration of the dream is given in verses 36 through 45. And this is an example of how in many passages the Bible interprets its own prophecies. So the New Testament interprets many of the prophecies of the Old Testament because much of the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament. For example, compare this Old Testament prophecy with the New Testament fulfillment. In Hosea 2:23, it says, "And I shall say unto them which were not my people, Thou art my people, and thou shalt say, Thou art my God." And then in Romans 9:24-26, we have the fulfillment. It says, "Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in Osi, I will call them my people, which are not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it should come to pass that in the place where it is said unto them, Ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God." So we have the fulfillment there. Fulfilled prophecy in the New Testament includes many Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Number three is the rule of double reference. So another key to understanding Bible prophecy is the rule of double reference. This rule for interpreting Bible prophecy states that a prophecy of immediate fulfillment is made as a meaning of teaching deeper truth or foretelling an event to be fulfilled farther in the future. Many times in the Bible, prophecy was fulfilled immediately after it was given, but the same prophecy applied not only to the event which was fulfilled immediately, but also to a second fulfillment farther in the future. For example, there is a prophecy given in Ezekiel 28:1-19, which is addressed to Ethbaal, who was then the king of Tyre. He was a wicked king, and he was a type of the Antichrist, which will arise during the end of the world. By saying Ethbaal is a type, we mean that in the nature and actions, he was like the Antichrist, which will come in the future. So you'll learn more about types in the next lesson. So when God spoke in prophecy through Ezekiel, it was fulfilled in the immediate future in the life of Ethbaal, but there is a future event as yet unfulfilled where the same prophecy applies to the evil end-time ruler who is called the Antichrist. So as you study Bible prophecy, remember the rules of double reference. Ask yourself two questions here. One, what did the prophecy mean at the time it was given for the people whom it was given? And number two, is there a future double reference to this prophecy? And asking these questions will help you to interpret prophecy to the full extent of its meaning. So number four, we have prophetic perspective. So the prophets describe future events as if they were continuous and in immediate order. For example, Isaiah prophesied Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." So when Jesus read from this portion in Isaiah, Luke 4, 17, 20, he stopped with the phrase, "to proclaim the acceptable the year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and he said that these scriptures were fulfilled in him that day. By this, he meant that he was fulfilling this prophecy. He was the one that God's Spirit sent upon him to preach good tidings, to bind up the broken heart, to proclaim liberty, and to open prisons. But it's significant that Jesus stopped reading with the phrase, "to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." He did not read the portion regarding the day of vengeance of our God, because the day of vengeance had not yet come. Already a gap of almost 2,000 years had elapsed since Jesus read this passage, and the day of God's vengeance still has not yet come. So prophetic perspective records events as if they were immediate. Through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah saw the whole plan of God when he saw Jesus come to preach, to bind up, proclaim liberty, open the prison, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and to bring the vengeance of God. And Isaiah saw the events as you would look at a distant ranges in the mountains. The valleys in between the mountains are not visible really until you climb up to the top of the nearest range. So prophetic perspective reveals the whole plan of God, but from a distance. And sometimes events seem to appear as though they happen immediately in sequence, but as the prophecies are fulfilled, there are often valleys of time between them, as illustrated by the passage from Isaiah. Jesus has not yet fulfilled the scripture about the day of vengeance. Number five, we have the conditional nature of prophecy. So much Bible prophecy is conditional in nature. This means that God says he will do certain things based on the response of man. So if man does not listen to God's message, certain things will happen. If man hears God's message and responds properly to it, then something else will happen. And we find that in Jeremiah 18, 7 through 10. It says, "And what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. If the nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith and I would benefit them." So in much Bible prophecy, you must continue studying in order to discover man's response to it, because the fulfillment of prophecy is often conditional upon man's response. For a good example of that would be the principle of the book of Jonah. The prophet Jonah revealed that God would destroy Nineveh in 3 days if they did not repent. The destruction never came, and the reason was that Nineveh responded properly to the message of God, and they repented of their sins. So we have Old Testament prophecy, and prophecy in the Old Testament centers on, one, the people of Israel, which was the nation God had raised up through which to reveal himself to the world. During the period of time when Israel was divided into two kingdoms, this prophecy is directed to Israel and Judah. An example of prophecy to Israel is the book of Hosea. For example, of prophecy to Judah would be found in the book of Joel. Prophecy to the nations surrounding the people of Israel, for example, prophecies are given regarding Babylon, Egypt, Tyre, Edom, etc. An example of the prophecy of Obadiah is directed to the nation of Edom. Point number three, prophecies concerning the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. These are not contained in any one prophetic book. They are really scattered throughout the Old Testament. A good example would be found in Isaiah 7:14. Point number four, prophecies concerning the entire world, its destiny, future events, the end of the world, the end of time as we know it. The book of Daniel is really an excellent example of this type of prophecy. And you'll see in the following chart, it condenses the general content of the books of prophecy in the Old Testament. So as you use the chart, remember the rule of double reference. Although the prophecies were directed to certain nations and fulfilled in the immediate future, many of the prophecies spoke of even greater events that were in the future. So you go ahead and read that in your book. And now we're going to talk about New Testament prophecy. There are many prophecies scattered throughout the New Testament, and most of these deal with future events which are to happen prior to the end of the world. For example, read the prophecies in Matthew chapter 24. Now, there's only one book in the prophecy division in the New Testament. However, that is the book of Revelation. John, a disciple of Jesus Christ, was given the revelation from God through the Holy Spirit, and it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And we find that in Revelation 1:1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And John was told this in Revelation 1:19, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now, the book of Daniel should be studied along with the book of Revelation, as the two books really relate to each other. And there are many different interpretations given in the prophecies in the book of Revelation. Most of these interpretations center on the exact timing of certain events or specific details of these events. It's important to have a general understanding, however, what the Bible says will happen. The following outline provides understanding of the major events. So as you begin to look at that in your book, the major events in the future, the Bible teaches that Jesus will return to the earth for believers. That's in John 14, 2-3. In point number A, we have the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18 gives the most details about Christ's return for believers. This return is called the rapture. Point number one, Christ himself will return, verse 16. Point number two, there will be a resurrection from the grave for those who were believers when they died. That's verse 16. There's going to be a rapture, which means the act of taking a person from one place to another. Living believers will be taken from earth to meet Jesus. That's found in verse 17. And point number four, there'll be a reunion between believers who have previously died, believers living at the time of Christ's return and the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's found in verse 17. Then point number B, we have the tribulation. The Bible tells of a terrible time on earth, which is called the tribulation. Point number one, the tribulation will last 42 months, which is 1,260 days, according to Daniel 9:24-27. And point number two, it's going to be a very difficult time because there will be many difficult times in the world, but three things will distinguish the tribulation from all other times of trouble. Point A, first, it will be worldwide and not just local, Revelations 3:10. Point number B, second, people will realize the end of the world is near, Revelation 6:16. And point number C, third, the intensity of the trouble will be greater than ever before experienced. And that's Matthew 24:4-14. And point number three, in the description, there are several judgments on earth during the tribulation. They are ascribed to Revelations chapter 6, 8 through 9, and 16, and Matthew 24:4-14. Point number four, the reason for tribulation. The wickedness of man must be punished, Satan defeated, and Jesus acknowledged as Lord of all. This completes God's plan for the ages spoken of in Ephesians 1, 8 through 9. Point number C, the timing of the rapture. Some people believe that rapture will occur before the tribulation, and the believers will not have to experience any of this terrible time on the earth. And others believe the rapture will happen midway through this period. Still, others believe the rapture will happen at the end of the tribulation. The most common interpretation is that of the rapture of the believers will happen before the tribulation begins. Now, the different views of timing of the rapture result from various interpretations of prophetic information given in Revelation and in other books of the Bible. What is most important is to know that you are a true believer and that you'll be ready to go with Jesus in the rapture when it does occur, whether it is pre-trib, post-trib, or mid-trib. Just be ready. Point number D, the millennium. The millennium is a period of 1,000 years after the tribulation, which Jesus will rule the earth in righteousness. Zechariah 14:9, Daniel 7:14, it says the city of Jerusalem will be the center of government. Isaiah 2:3, this period will end when Satan stages a last revolt against God. That's found in Revelations 20:7-9. God will send fire from heaven and will end all opposition, and Satan will be cast in the lake of fire for eternity, according to Revelation 20:10. And point number E, judgment. All created things will be judged by God. This is known as the time of eternal judgment. Those who died as unbelievers will be resurrected to face judgment because they did not repent from sin and accept Jesus as Savior. They will be condemned to eternity in hell, according to Revelations 20:12-15. True believers who have repented from sin and accepted Jesus as Savior will spend eternity in heaven in the presence of God, and that's found in Revelation 21. So that's it for this lesson. Go ahead and do your chapter self-test and join me for the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.